WJFF Studios. From the WJFF Studios in Liberty, New York, this is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Today is National Voter Registration Day, and the chairs of the Sullivan County Republican and Democratic parties are encouraging everyone to get registered. We'll talk to both of them live this morning. Cauliflower Festival. From the early 20th century through the 50s, farmers and businesses throughout the Catskills relied heavily on cauliflower harvests to support the local economy. Margaretville's annual Cauliflower Festival celebrates that agricultural and rural history, and we'll talk to one of the festival organizers. And from mergers and acquisitions to arias and operettas, we chat with Brooke Schooley, from moving from an investment banker to returning to her childhood passion of singing. Plus, Maggie Fitzpatrick is here, moving toward health. But first, the news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. The latest UN General Assembly is convened in New York. President Biden is scheduled to address delegates this hour. The session began with a powerful speech by UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. He's continuing to insist world governments act together to solve big problems that divide them, from climate change to political control.
As I told in the G20, it is time for a global compromise. Politics is compromise. Diplomacy is compromise. Effective leadership is compromise. Leaders have a social responsibility to achieve compromise in building a common future of peace and prosperity for our common good.
The UN Secretary General is again hammering his point. The world needs action now to solve the global climate emergency. There's mixed reaction from Canada's Sikh community after Prime Minister Justin Trudeau accused India of involvement in the killing of a Sikh leader earlier this year. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the leader had been a vocal advocate of an independent Sikh homeland in India.
Hardeep Singh Nijjar had been shot and killed outside a temple in Surrey, British Columbia, in June. On Monday, Trudeau said an investigation by national security agencies showed credible evidence of India's involvement. Some Sikh leaders, like Maninder Singh of BC's Gurdwara's Council, say Trudeau's remarks about Indian interference in Canadian affairs was long overdue, adding that his community had been raising those issues for more than 40 years. Singh also says his community will remain skeptical until there is someone behind bars for the killing. Singh is also calling for a public inquiry into India's actions in Canada and an end to any intelligence-sharing agreements between Canada and India. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
The United Auto Workers Union remains on strike against three plants. The UAW is warning the big three automakers the strike could grow unless there's significant progress in contract talks by Friday. Stocks opened lower this morning as the Commerce Department reported a bigger-than-expected slowdown in home-building activity last month. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the Dow Jones Industrial Average slipped about 125 points in early trading.
Builders broke ground on fewer homes in August than the month before. Most of the drop came in multifamily apartment buildings, but single-family home construction also dipped last month. Builders aren't giving up, though. Permits for future home construction were up in August. Newly built houses are in high demand thanks to a shortage of existing homes on the market. A survey of builders found a whopping 42% of new homes sold this year went to first-time buyers. The Federal Reserve begins a two-day meeting today, and policymakers are expected to hold interest rates steady. Investors will be on the lookout, though, for signs of a future rate increase. The Fed has two more meetings before the end of the year. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow is now down 130 points. It's NPR. Five Americans released yesterday by Iran have now arrived back in the U.S. As part of the negotiations, the U.S. released nearly $6 billion of frozen Iranian oil revenues. In addition, the U.S. released five Iranians in its custody. The U.N.'s cultural agency, UNESCO, has officially added ancient earthworks in Ohio, built by indigenous people, to its World Heritage List. From member station WVXU in Cincinnati, Tana Weingartner has more.
Ohio's Hopewell ceremonial earthworks are now recognized alongside such marvels as the pyramids for being of outstanding universal value. Chief Glenna Wallace of the Eastern Shawnee tribe spoke to a meeting of the UNESCO World Heritage Committee after the decision.
The world at long last recognizes the commitment, the spirituality, the knowledge of astronomy, mathematics, art, geology, and aesthetic vision resulting in the imaginative thinking used by our ancestors to create these magnificent earthworks.
The earthworks were built nearly 2,000 years ago in precise geometric patterns. For NPR News, I'm Tana Weingartner in Cincinnati.
U.S. military officials say they have found a missing stealth fighter jet in South Carolina. It disappeared over the weekend after its pilot safely ejected for an undisclosed reason and was hospitalized in stable condition. Officials at Joint Base Charleston say they located the F-35 debris about 2 hours northeast of Charleston. I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation. For more than 95 years, supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable, and sustainable society. More at Mott.org. And the listeners who support this NPR station.
Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. According to U.S. Census data from 2020, as many as 1 in 4 eligible Americans are not registered to vote. Every year, millions of Americans find themselves unable to vote because they miss a registration deadline, don't update their registration, or aren't sure how to register. Well, today is National Voter Registration Day, which occurs every September, and it involves volunteers and organizations from all over the country hitting the streets in a single day of coordinated efforts to register folks to vote and ensure everyone has their voice heard at the ballot box. Joining us this morning are Greg Goldstein, chair of the Sullivan County Republican Party, and Ann Hart, chair of the Sullivan County Democratic Party. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Ann.
Hi.
And just to prove that this is a nonpartisan issue, we have both chairs here of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party here in Sullivan County. Greg, to you first, why, again, I know people, we say this all the time, but why is it important to register to vote?
Well, if you don't register to vote, you can't change things. And that's why it is so important for having people to register to vote, whether you register as a Republican, Democrat, conservative, whatever you want to register. You can't have a voice unless you register. And it's so important with all the issues going on in today's world that people get out there, be active, but you can't make a change unless you register to vote. And it's just so important.
And do those numbers, those stats that I mentioned at the top, surprise you about folks not, 1 in 4 Americans not registered?
Unfortunately not. As probably both Greg, when he was chair the last time and this time, we face that every day when we're talking to voters and trying to get them to register. It's a very sad but true. I mean, I just ran sort of a brief attempt at a report, and there could be up to 10,000 people in Sullivan County who are not registered to vote. Yeah. That can be very, very impactful on the decisions that are made, not only on who to elect, but on what the policies are and what they do. As I said, Greg said it, but it's really important for people to have a voice in their government. Unfortunately, I don't think people feel that they do or they can. And that's something that all of us need to work on, because our government only works if everybody participates in it.
And a day like today is to emphasize that point, that your voice counts at every level. Do you think that because there's not a big election, so to speak, in this year going on, it's not a presidential election, there's not a pivotal congressional district, or there's not a governor kind of thing going on, does that impact people's participation, and then also then their ability to think that they have any kind of chance to make a difference? And I'll just ask you that first, and Greg, then to you.
People are really, they're going about their day-to-day lives, and when they don't feel engaged or that their government matters or impacts them, which in fact is not true, it's the last thing on their list. Most people are very, very busy and so on. So when there's no overriding issue or concern, be it the national or the state races, or even, if you had a countywide local race that was contested, it impacts. It will impact turnout.
Greg, what do you think about that?
Ann and I are not going to disagree on a lot of issues, surprisingly a lot, but Ann is absolutely right. People want change, but people do have, they worry about the price of gas, the price of groceries. They're not worried about, who's running for, a reelection as a legislator, who's running for DA, things of that nature, because they have so much on their plate as it is. And a lot of people, and Ann, I'm sure you see this, they just don't think their vote's going to make a difference. And that's so far from the truth, as every vote counts. And people need to get involved, and they need to, they can make a big difference. And, you know, back in the day, it used to be, you know, you followed, if your parents were a Republican, most likely you registered as a Republican, and vice versa as a Democrat. But you need these kids, and the kids are so easy. They can go online to register. It's just, it's so important to see how government works. You know, sometimes it's embarrassing how government works, but it's the best government we have here in the U.S. and the world. And if we don't have people to participate, that's when you have problems.
I was surprised to learn, as we were looking at our election coverage here at WJFF, that here in Sullivan County, every seat on the Sullivan County legislature is up for election, for voting this November. And again, it's about the local level. These positions, these legislators, impact your road getting paved, or you know, what's going on in the other aspects of the community. Anne, can you speak to that a little bit about again the local level and why that's so important?
Well, it's really very important, especially at the town level, even more so important, because a lot of those decisions about your roads and what happens with upgrading your water system or your sewer system, they start at the town level. That's when any resident can have an impact by going to these town meetings, and whatever their grievance is, if they have a grievance or whatever their support is, they can actually impact it. I've seen it. I've lived through it. I've been part of different changes in different towns when a town is considering a particular issue and people either like it or they don't like it. You can shift the way a local board can act if your arguments are good, if you're civil, if you have, you know, a point, and if you have support, you know, and people, I don't know that people really understand that unless they've been exposed to or had the opportunity to go to these meetings. And unfortunately, it seems like after you have to do that to get your credits to graduate from high school, your life takes off and it may not happen anymore. And that's really up to all the parties and the lack of parties to help get people to understand how important it is and how impactful they can be.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking to Anne Hart, chair of the Sullivan County Democratic Party, and Greg Goldstein, chair of the Sullivan County Republican Party. They're talking to us about National Voter Registration Day, which is today. We'll get to how you can register to vote. But Greg, something you said in the last comment about, you know, sort of back in the day and civics, it used to be kind of your civic duty that everyone understood, and I don't know what's happened and why it's sort of not become as important to some folks. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's been a lot of changes since back in those days when I was a kid, and possibly when Anne was a person growing up. Also, you know, things have changed. I blame a lot on what we're doing right now, which I'm talking on a cell phone. I think these smartphones have just taken everybody away. They look at what's shown on Facebook, and they take that for truth or whatever these reels are and things of that nature. They don't do the research themselves. I don't know. You know, it goes back to the family structure too, I guess, a little bit. And people only want to get involved when it affects them. You know, I was a supervisor in the town of Neversink for 6 years. I've been a legislator, but in the town of Neversink, everything was smooth until something, you know, affected somebody and they showed up to a meeting. But you have to have participation from people. You know, it's the same guys running again. It's the same girls running. You've got to have participation from everyone. And that's the only way it works. And really in our county, it should run. Who cares what party you are? You know, we want to do what's best for Sullivan County, and that's usually what happens. So you just have – it's hard, and I'm sure Ann says the same thing. It's hard to get people to want to run, whether it be a town election or a countywide election. It's very difficult, and you can't blame them.
Ann, did you have anything?
I don't disagree with a thing that Greg said, and I think that – nationally, the way the party system is so dysfunctional, it translates down to local elections. And if you look at our statistics here about who's registered to vote, the number of people who have no party almost match the number of registered Republicans or Democrats. Mm-hmm. That tells you something. That tells you that people are they don't care about party, and that they don't care or think that the being a member of a particular party matters to them, particularly locally, because it's more about the person many times. But in general, I think that there's a disaffection with party politics, and that's going to affect civic engagement.
Yeah. Let's talk about civic engagement today, National Voter Registration Day. Let's remind folks how they can register to vote and also some of the deadlines, well, here in New York State, and then we can direct folks who are listening elsewhere to other resources. But Anne, do you have some information about registration today?
Well, two of our county libraries are holding events today at the Liberty Library from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. There will be someone there with voter information to get you registered, get you any information that you need if you aren't going to be around, to give you an absentee ballot application, et cetera. Same thing at the Crawford Library in Monticello from 3 to 5, possibly 2 to 5. I think I heard that they got another volunteer to start at 2. So that's great. You can always go to the Sullivan County Board of Elections Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. They'll be happy to help you and walk you through anything. You can also register online through the portal at the New York State Board of Elections. And you can also check your registration to make sure that you're registered in the place where you live. If you moved and forgot to tell them and you showed up on election day, it might be hard for you to get to the real place where you live now, or they'll turn you down. So check your registrations, particularly if you moved. You can do that also on the New York State Board of Elections website. And there's a link to both of those on the Sullivan County Board of Elections website as well.
And in New York, the deadline to register online to vote is October 28th. The deadline to register by mail to vote and postmarked is October 28th. Also on October 28th, the deadline to register in person to vote. The deadline to request a ballot by mail and receive by is October 23rd. There's an early voting period in New York that runs from October 28th to November 5th, but dates and hours could vary based on where you live. You can check that out, as Anne mentioned, at the state or county level. There's also NationalVoterRegistrationDay.org. In Pennsylvania, if you're listening to us there, votepa.gov has more information about how to register to vote. I want to thank you both for joining us today. Greg, any final thoughts?
No, I think, as I said at the beginning, Anne and I will agree on a lot of things, and I think the big thing is for people to get out, register if you're not registered to vote, and turn out to vote. You have your town elections this year, too, supervisors, town board members. You know, the towns operate very well, I must say, in Sullivan County, whether it be whatever party runs it. So, but just people, it's so easy to register to vote now. There's so many places, like Anne just said, just to get out there and have a say in what goes on. Really, you can't complain if you don't be part of the solution or part of the to make it work.
Anne?
And on a very local level, if your town highway superintendent is an elected official and you don't like what they're doing on your roads, you have a voice.
Exactly.
And a vote.
Exactly. Also, on the National Voter Registration Day website, there's a stat that says 60% of eligible voters are never asked to register. Well, you don't have that excuse anymore. You're asking you to register now. Register today. And please get out there and vote. Make your voice heard. I want to thank you guys, both of you, for joining us today. We'll have you back, of course, during this election season. Greg Goldstein, who is the chair of the Sullivan County Republican Party, and Anne Hart, chair of the Sullivan County Democratic Party. Thank you both.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
All right. We're going to stay on the election for just one second here. In Pennsylvania, they need about 40,000 more people to help sign up and serve as poll workers for the November 7th election and 2024 presidential election. To fill that gap, the state is recruiting future voters, 17-year-olds. From the Keystone State News Connection, Danielle Smith reports.
Election day is less than 2 months away, and for the process to go smoothly, Pennsylvania needs a lot more poll workers. Many of the 8.7 million registered voters in the state would be eligible to work at the polls for the November 7th municipal elections. Lauren Cristella, who heads the Voter Education Group Committee of 70, says 40,000 Pennsylvanians are needed twice a year to ensure elections happen. She adds the state is also recruiting 17-year-olds to serve as poll workers if they get permission from their school principal and a parent or guardian.
Poll workers are our first best defense against election fraud, anything that would cause disenfranchisement of voters. Fully staffed, well-trained poll workers make voting easier for everyone. So we took that as an important part of our mission to make sure that these important roles were filled.
Christella says Pennsylvania's population increase is one reason more poll workers are needed. In Philadelphia, for instance, each polling location requires 5 people to serve in the assigned roles, and there are over 1,700 locations. Christella says older Pennsylvanians are traditionally the backbone of poll staffing, and it's been a challenge since the pandemic to find enough workers because COVID prompted many people to decide to stay home for health reasons.
There was a huge gap. We had to fill. So many people stepped up. We recruited tens of thousands of people in Pennsylvania in 2020. Getting those people back is important.
People can sign up to become poll workers through the Pennsylvania Department of State website or the League of Women Voters of Pennsylvania website. League Program Manager Samantha Anthony says last year, 1,200 people signed up online at palwv.org.
We really encourage people to sign up through that link, one, so that we can send them to the correct county election officials and make sure, kind of take some of the administrative burden off of the county by making sure everybody's registered to vote and, you know, within the right county that they're supposed to be in.
Election workers are paid, but the exact rates depend on the county. Their hours may start as early as 6:30 a.m. and polls close at 8 p.m. I'm Danielle Smith, Keystone State News Connection.
And when we come back after a short break, we'll be moving toward health with Maggie Fitzpatrick from the Sullivan County Democrat. Today, reverse engineering and how it works into your fitness goals. This is Radio Chatskill.
Radio Catskills Community Awards return September 28th. Help us honor the organizations that give art and artists a home in our area, like Catskill Art Space, Delaware Valley Arts Alliance, and Wayne County Arts Alliance. And celebrate live theater in our community from the Forestburg Playhouse, Sullivan County Dramatic Workshop, and NACL. Radio Catskills Community Awards, September 28th, Seminary Hill Orchard and Cidery, Calicoon. Tickets at WJFFradio.org.
Lights, camera, Big Eddie. The 12th annual Big Eddie Film Festival is September 28th through October 1st in Narrowsburg, New York. Produced by the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance, the Big Eddie ignites conversations and celebrations through independent film screenings, makers panels, programs, parties, and more. Schedule and tickets at BigEddieFilmFest.com. The Big Eddie Film Festival, September 28th through October 1st. Paid for by DDAA.
This is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. It's Tuesday, and that means Maggie Fitzpatrick is here. Moving Toward Health is her column that appears weekly in the Sullivan County Democrat, and she's here to tell us all about it. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good morning. We were both saying this turn to some fall-like weather has got us a little tired or less energy than before.
Yeah, I'm just a little bit cold, but I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just not, like, my body's not ready.
I'm excited. Like, I found my sweatshirts and, like, colder weather gear from where I stuffed them earlier this year. And now my body's getting used to, like, those changes in temperatures. But again, we're talking about this because we're also talking about goal setting and how you kind of can get used to changing your goals and reverse engineering your goals. Do you like how I segued?
I do. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I do. That was good.
So that's the topic of the column in today's Sullivan County Democrat, how to reverse engineer your goals. What do you mean by reverse engineer the goals?
Yeah. So basically what that means is we want to look at the goal as if it's already happened, right, into the future, and then work backwards and say, how did I get there? What were the really important things that I needed to do in order to achieve that goal? So that is really the process of reverse engineering it. So we can lay out that plan and then actually do it.
What are some reasons why we don't achieve our goals?
Yeah, so there's lots of reasons, but a couple of them are that we don't have an actionable plan, right? And that the goal is just too vague, right? So in the article I give an example of, like, if you want to lose 20 pounds, you say, I want to lose 20 pounds, that sounds like, yeah, that's a good goal. But actually, that's really, really vague. And that doesn't give you a lot to work with in terms of like, what do you actually do to accomplish it?
Or I want to be healthier.
Yes. That's like, oh, that's a good vague. One. Yes. That's
but,
a good one.
But that's something that's sort of like a loop in your mind, like especially when you're, you know, ordering lunch or looking to go do some exercise. It's not that specific.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what are some ways that we can set some goals that we can achieve using this reverse engineering idea? And, you know, I have to say engineering, the word scares me.
Yeah. It sounds like it can be a little bit overwhelming, but I actually think that it's a lot of fun. Because it gives you clarity, and clarity gives you confidence, right? So that's why I think that it's a lot of fun. But you actually said the word. The first thing that we want to do is make it more specific. And my favorite question to ask to make a goal more specific is, what else is important here? Right. And so to go back to the 20 pounds example, okay, you want to lose 20 pounds. What else is important in relation to that? Right. And that's going to be a little bit different for each person. But in the example I give, and, you know, for most people that I work with, what else is important when we lose 20 pounds is that, well, I also stay strong and I also stay active and, you know, I keep muscle mass and I'm not like losing all of my muscle in 20 pounds. I probably actually want to lose fat. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when I ask that question, that gives me a little bit more clarity on, okay, the 20 pounds I want to lose is actually a fat.
Mm-hmm. And you, in the article, you also talk about how to figure out how you're going to measure that once you have this like specific and time bound goal. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So the next thing you just said that we want to do is we want to put a time frame on it, right? Because when we put a time frame on a goal, it allows us to, you know, stay motivated towards working towards it, but then also helps us from feeling discouraged, because when we don't have that time frame, then we always think we're not doing enough, right? Mm-hmm. So then after that, we want to figure out, how do we measure this goal, right? How do we measure it? So depending on what your goal is, well, it'll vary on what you keep track of. But in this instance, because losing weight is important and keeping muscle is important, two things we could measure here are our body weight and the amount of weight that we're lifting in our workouts, mm-hmm. right? Because then mm-hmm. we lose weight and we gain strength.
Mm-hmm. In specific, you get into some specifics here about this particular goal, this example of tracking it each day for a week and then comparing it week to week and then keeping that log. What is the measuring of the progress do to help? I mean, I've had experience with tracking apps and, mm-hmm. you know, even before the apps, like writing things down in a booklet. You know, what's an advantage of that? Because sometimes I feel like when you do that, definitely it helps you achieve the goal. But then there's this other, like, I don't know, I have to do it kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a really, really great question.
Not articulating that well.
No, that's a great question, though, because what we keep track of is what changes, mm-hmm. right? And so there's just this innate ability to change when we keep something in the forefront of our mind, right? And so whether you're using an app or a notebook, or however you want to keep track of whatever it is that you are measuring, when we are constantly keeping that in the forefront of our mind, we make decisions that are more aligned with our goal when we are constantly keeping track of it, right? So mm-hmm. that is one thing. The other thing is that it's a form of accountability, mm-hmm. right? Which is really great because we need to be able to hold ourselves accountable. But that really is the main thing, is that what we're putting our attention to is what is going to change. And so that keeping track is a way of us to continuously put our attention towards that thing.
I think I was referring to like guilt in tracking. Like, you may have not achieved the goal that you wanted for that day, but don't lose sight of the bigger picture, which is this longer term, this other goal, this other defined goal, right? Mm-hmm. So like sometimes, like if I'd written it down in a journal, I'd be like, oh, I didn't do it, you know?
Yeah.
But like, don't lose sight of the goal at hand.
Right. And that's actually a really good point, because I didn't really think of that when I was writing this, but that is something that's really common, right? That comes up a lot when you keep track of it. And then if you didn't do it correctly, you might get discouraged, right? And so we want to just pay attention to the frame that we are putting the picture in here, right? And when you mess up, is it a mistake or did you learn? And it sounds like really cliche, but it's really true, right? Or did I make a mistake, or am I just aware of a behavior that now that I'm aware of it, I can make changes towards it, mm-hmm. right? We want to make sure that in that instance, we really try our best not to beat ourselves up mm-hmm. when we aren't perfect, because we're not going to be perfect, you know? And that awareness in it of itself is going to help you make changes. You don't have to, you know, beat yourself up over it. It doesn't actually help.
And the last couple of things we need to do to reverse engineer our goals or to set ourselves up for success are what?
The last two things. This is the fun part, I think. I mean, all of it's fun, but this is the most fun part. Okay, so we need some form of accountability, right? We need some form of accountability. And when you tell someone else about what it is that you are going to do, it like adds this level of seriousness and also like anchors you into actually doing it, right? So I like to call it an accountability buddy, you know, your accountability buddy, someone that is along with you for the journey. It could be a coach or someone that's helping you, or it could be a friend, or it could be a spouse, or, you know, just anyone that you are accountable to and that is helping you achieve this. And then the last thing is, we really want to make sure we set a reward. And we talked about this recently with the winning after winning, but we really want to make sure that we have a reward for when we achieve this goal, because it does two things. One, it's going to help anchor in all of these behaviors that we have done as good, mm-hmm. right? And it keeps it fun and exciting, mm-hmm. you know, because you're like, I have something else to work towards other than just the accomplishment of this goal.
And this, you know, inspires you and makes you more confident.
Yes, exactly.
That's what you do for us, Maggie Fitzpatrick.
Thank you.
Maggie Fitzpatrick is the health and wellness columnist at the Sullivan County Democrat. Her column is Moving Toward Health. It appears every Tuesday in the Sullivan County Democrat, which you can find on newsstands now or at scdemocratonline.com. And she joins us every Tuesday to talk about it, too, and motivate us to move toward health.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Maggie. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we're celebrating cauliflower. This is Radio Chatskill.
Support comes from the Women's Health Center in Homesdale, Hamlin, Waymart, Carbondale, and Lords Valley in Pennsylvania. Physicians and certified midwives who deliver. The Women's Health Center is a Wayne Memorial Community Health Center. WMH.org. NACL Theater Highland Lake. Innovative performance and community action. NACL.org. And from listener donations at WJFFradio.org.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. This week on Latino USA, we continue marking our 30th anniversary with a new special episode. We tell the story of the late Lance Corporal David Lee Espinosa. He was killed in Afghanistan as the war there came to an end.
I never thought that David was going to be part of it and die like this 20 years later.
That's this week on Latino USA.
Thursday afternoon at 1 on Radio Catskill.
This is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. The Cauliflower Festival is Margaretville's annual celebration of agriculture and rural life. It takes place Saturday. And the Cauliflower Festival is a signature event on the Catskill Mountains Scenic Byway, sponsored by the Central Catskills Chamber of Commerce. Joining us now to tell us more about the festival is Karen Fairbairn, one of the managers. Good morning.
Good morning. You said my last name perfectly.
Oh, well, thank you. I practiced a lot this morning. Karen, listen, I was not aware that in the early part of the 20th century, that farmers and businesses throughout the Catskills relied heavily on cauliflower harvests. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure did. It was a big crop in our area, and the trains would come up from the Hudson River and come up and pick up cauliflower. And there used to be what is now a parking lot, just actually really close to where we host the festival, where all the farmers would bring in their cauliflower and it would get picked up and go down to the city. They were the big purchaser of cauliflower. It actually saved a lot of dairy farms a lot of the dairy farmers put in large cauliflower crops, and it helped pay the bills.
Oh, wow. Now, it's no longer really here commercially, but the festival is celebrating that history. How did this festival come about?
So, you know, it was just always known that cauliflower, we always say that cauliflower was king here in the Catskills. And it was sort of around the 50s that Long Island started growing a lot of the cauliflower, and we saw a lot of the sales drop in the Catskills. But there are just generations and generations here in our area. And it was something that was always talked about, and we decided it would be a great thing to celebrate. And obviously agriculture is still really alive and well in the area, and it was just something nice to celebrate our history, and it started 19 years ago.
I really hope there is a Cauliflower is King t-shirt available. Let's talk about the event. It starts on Saturday at 11:30 with a tractor parade, as all good things do in the Catskills. Let's talk about what's going on that day and where things are happening.
Sure. So it actually starts at 11. And the interesting thing is we don't know if we're going to end up with a tractor parade this year.
Oh.
And my family actually started that parade 16 years ago, but we have had such a crazy summer of rain. And to make hay, you need at least 3 solid days of sunshine, yeah, which we barely saw this summer. So most of our farmers are going to be out making hay this Saturday. And that's just how agriculture goes. So we're still kind of up in the air as to if we're going to be dry enough and what's going to be happening. So and that was one of our signature events for so many years. So we will see. But we do have some other vehicles coming in. There is a 1903 endurance run of vehicles that will be coming up from Mount Tremper. They do a big, long drive every year up the scenic byway and through all the little towns. They veer off of 28, and they'll be stopping in somewhere around 11:30 in the morning. So there's a big group of antique vehicles that will be there, and that's always really fun to see. The event, of course, we have cauliflower for sale. We also have, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Pure Catskills organization, but Pure Catskills is a leg of the Watershed Agricultural Council.
We know them well.
Yes, so we have about 20 farmers who are represented through Pure Catskills, everything from maple syrup to spirits. Union Grove will be there with their spirits, which they have some great, they have one that they make actually utilizing tree juice, maple syrup. It's sort of like a bourbon. It's a distilled maple, which is really great. We'll have some calves there from Crystal Valley Farm who bottles milk here and about 10 miles away. We'll have some goats here from Dirty Girl Goat Farm, and they'll have their cheese. So there's lots of great ways to taste products from our local farmers and purchase them. So,
and you've got some stuff for kids as well happening.
We do. We always have some arts and crafts going on from different local organizations, like the Pine Hill Community Center will be there, and I understand they're going to be making sheep out of cauliflower florets.
I love it.
So we have a bookmobile coming, and kids are can get a free book from the Dragon Wagon, it's called, and we have hat making. So there's always a bunch of fun stuff and some birdhouse making from the Catskill Forest Association. Lots of good stuff.
And you've got exhibits from the Catskills Water Discovery Center, the Catskill Recreation Center, Heart of the Catskills Humane Society. And as you said, it's been going on for 19 years, but this year it's the first ever what?
Cornhole tournament.
There you go.
Yeah, I had no idea. Like, cornhole is serious business.
It's competitive.
It's competitive. I had no idea. We have a guy in town named Zach Clark who has a Z painting business here in town, and he is a big-time cornhole player, so he's setting up the whole thing. There's There's some for kids, and then there's different divisions for adults, and you pay to play, and then you get the whole pot when you win. So
and are
it
there,
should
are,
be good.
Are there trophies as well? This is competitive, right?
Oh, yeah. There are trophies, and I understand they came in yesterday, and it says, First Annual Cauliflower Festival Cornhole Tournament. So we've decided that it's already going to happen in another year because we put annual on it.
I've got to ask, because listeners deserve to know, do you use the cauliflower in the cornhole tournament? Do you throw the cauliflower into the hole?
I wish we could. we have talked about doing, like, you know, projecting cauliflower, who can make it the farthest distance, but we kind of decided we don't really want to waste the cauliflower. So we're not, but I wish we were.
Yeah, this is one of those fun festivals in the Catskills that only happens here. Is that why you are part of it?
Yeah, my family paid off the farm in 1932, which is a hard time to pay off a farm from cauliflower sales. And
wow.
My kid's grandfather, there's a book that was written about our area and talks about how when he was a kid, and he just turned 85, and when he was a kid, his nickname was Topper, because he used to climb up onto the cauliflower crates and turn the best tops of the cauliflower on top, so the auction people at the auction would buy their cauliflower. So it's just sort of always been a big event. And you know what? It's the one where our community, like you just listed so many of our great organizations in our area, and so many people are employed by that and have family members in that, and it's really a great feeling. It's the kind of place, like, your kids can run around, you stop and have conversation. It's not like a county fair. It's really, you know, sweet and small and community-driven.
Well, let's remind folks when it's happening and where they can get more information.
Sure. So it's happening this Saturday, September 23rd in Margaretville, behind the Freshtown and CVS, which is on Bridge Street. It's from 11 to 4 p.m. There's live music from 12 to 3, lots of awesome food, and you can get more information at MargaretvilleCauliflowerFestival.org. Our Facebook page is most updated, which is also Margaretville Cauliflower Festival.
Karen Fairbairn from the Cauliflower Festival in Margaretville, thank you so much for joining us and giving us the info on this really great festival that could only happen here in the Catskills.
Exactly. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Have fun this Saturday.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll take a break. And when we come back, our own classical contributor, Kit, is here with a really interesting story of someone who moved from investment banking to the opera stage. This is Radio Chatsko.
Hi, this is Marco Werman, host of The World. Weekdays at 3, our newsroom connects you with events around the globe. Our reporters in the Americas, Africa, Europe, and Asia get to the heart of the day's news. We bring you international perspectives on issues worldwide and here in the U.S. It's 1 hour each day that broadens horizons and takes you beyond our borders. Join me on The World, afternoons at 3, on Radio Catskill.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, host of On Point. Each hour of On Point is a journey to help make complicated issues understandable. Every issue brings more questions, like how did we get here? Why is this happening? And what does it mean? And how do we fix it? So let's figure this out and make sense of the world together. Join me weekday mornings at 11 here on Radio Catskill.
CDC recommends everyone 6 months and older get an updated COVID-19 vaccine to protect against the potentially serious outcomes of COVID-19 illness this fall and winter. To find COVID-19 vaccine locations near you, text your zip code to 438-829, call 1-800-232-0233, or go to wjffradio.org, where you'll find a vaccine locator and COVID tracker. Radio Catskill, keeping you connected.
This is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno, and I'm joined in the studio today by our own classical contributor, Kit. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I know you took a little break after that busy season of festivals and classical music here, but we've got a really interesting story today. Tell us about Brooke Schooley.
So Brooke Schooley is from Ohio, grew up on a farm, and she became an investment banker. And after 15 years on Wall Street, she revisited an earlier passion of singing and started studying opera singing.
And on the phone with us now is Brooke Schooley, who moved from mergers and acquisitions to arias and operettas. Good morning, Brooke.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. You have a show coming up at the Delaware Valley Opera this Saturday. We'll talk about that. But Kit, let's talk a little bit more about Brooke.
Yeah. So, you know, it was really interesting hearing about, you know, the range of your experience. I mean, you said you had a degree in agricultural economics and then, you know, you went into investment banking and you're also very active in the West Village, aren't you?
I am. I started a business improvement district in the West Village in New York City, which is a very arduous process, but happily it's up and running. And getting to know people in that community has been fantastic. We have basically split our time between Dutchess County and the city, and we've been in the West Village since 2005. And it really is like a village. We've gotten to know most of our neighbors. We have regular soirees at our home there where I invite my singer friends and we sing whatever we happen to be working on to the, I think, the enjoyment of our neighbors. So that's been a great experience.
Yeah, well, you know, I was thinking about the fact that a lot of the things that you've done are unique. You know, not everybody is an investment banker. Not everybody has studied agricultural economics, and certainly not everybody can sing opera. But you have spent quite a lot of time in the last decade with an experience that I think if most of our listeners, if they haven't experienced it yet, they will experience it. And that is caring for, arranging the care for aging parents. And I understand that that experience has really informed the program that you're going to be presenting this Saturday night. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yes, absolutely. I always tell people that I think my parents were probably the only set of parents in the world that were disappointed that their child went into finance as opposed to music. But here we are, full circle. Yes, both of my parents had dementia of different forms at the ends of their lives, and I'm an only child. They remained in the home in which I grew up in Ohio, and I, as I said earlier, live in New York. So I was spending a lot of time going back and forth, a lot of time searching for the perfect caregiver, the perfect set of caregivers, which happily and miraculously we found. But for about 10 years, that was a real user of bandwidth, I guess, for lack of a better word. Anyone who's had that experience knows that it is emotionally draining, draining of energy. And takes a lot of time and a lot of care. And as you said, it's something that everyone experiences. And it's so interesting. Every time I talk about it with someone, they relate similar stories. So I think, you know, my experiences, as you say, are certainly not unique, but I suppose singing about them is. And as I was going through this experience with my parents, I was spending a lot of time singing art song in my voice studies with the wonderful Carol Castell, Palakun's own Carol Castell. And I found I was really gravitating to songs about evening and nighttime. And I think some of that was obvious, kind of a metaphor for a certain stage in life. I think some of it was tied more to this phenomenon of sundowning, which anyone with that kind of experience is familiar with. People with cognitive decline often have greater periods of disorientation in the evening and at nighttime. And I also think just more metaphorically, it resonated with me because, you know, in darkness, our worlds get smaller, things are harder to discern. And that's exactly what my parents were experiencing and what I was really experiencing along with them. So all of that informed the basis for this show.
Well, one thing that occurred to me, you know, I mean, the title of the program you're going to be doing is Maddened by the Stars. And I thought, now, what song is that from? So I looked it up, and it's from Green Finch and Linnet Bird from Sweeney Todd. And reading through those lyrics, it made me realize that there are songs that you may have heard. They could be, you know, from the Great American Songbook that you heard at one point in your life, and you heard the lyrics one way, and then you have transformative experiences, and it becomes a whole different song because you hear it in a different way. And the lines in that song of, you know, birds that are in cages and can't take wing, and that there's this stuff going on beyond the bars that they can't access, that sounds to me like what it might be like to experience dementia and, you know, to have your life kind of become smaller and more contained. And I wondered how you chose the songs for this show. And, you know, not all of them, but if you could maybe just give us an example of one of the pieces you're going to be singing and how you related that to your experience with your parents.
Sure. You know, you are exactly right. The second half of the show, and I probably the longer half, is primarily American Standards musical theater that all strike me differently now, given these experiences. You're exactly right with respect to Greenfinch and Linnet Bird from Sweeney Todd. I'm also singing a Doris Day song, or a song that she popularized called I Said My Pajamas. And the song, as traditionally interpreted, and the lyrics are that she has gone out for the evening with this guy, and she has fallen in love, and she's so flustered that she mixes up all of her words. So she says her pajamas, and she puts on her prayers, and she butters her tie, and she takes scrambles her shoes and shines her eggs, and on and on. And I frankly had never heard that song before. I was just flipping through music books one day looking for new things to work on. And I was absolutely flabbergasted when I saw that song, because my mom had many issues with communication. But one of them was uncannily like this song. She would say the opposite of what she meant, or confuse words in different phrases. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is just so familiar and so spot on. And so that song is a great example of what you're talking about as well.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a really interesting concert. So you're going to be singing, besides these, you know, more, how shall I put it, more popular songs, popular in the sense of popular music, not art music. Did you choose the art songs also because they related to that experience?
Yes, absolutely. And I think the theme in the art songs is evening and nighttime and
longing and disorientation. Not all of them are in English, but it will be very clear to the audience what is being said, both in terms of translations, which will be provided by video, as well as my own narrative between the pieces. But I couldn't resist doing some of these French and German pieces because they're so spot on in terms of the things we're talking about. I think the most poignant is a piece by Richard Strauss called Die Nacht, The Night. And it talks about how the night slips out from the woods quietly and she extinguishes the flowers, the colors, the crops in the field. And, it's just so evocative of what I experienced with my parents on many, many levels.
Well, I think that also is perfect for a night here in the Catskills, you know, where people are going to be arriving for this concert, and then when they're leaving, it is going to be night, and the world will be transformed. So so this is going to be Saturday night at 7 p.m., and could you tell us how to get more information and how to get tickets?
Yes. You can get more information at the Delaware Valley Opera website, which I'm looking up right now.
I think it's DelawareValleyOpera.com, I think.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, I wasn't Delaware sure Valley if it was Opera. Com or org, but I think it's com.
It's .com.
.com. And you can get tickets there. Tickets will be available at the door. They're $20. And I really hope that people will come, who want to hear good music, but I really hope that people will come who otherwise would not be drawn to this kind of performance. Because as you said at the very beginning, these are experiences that touch a lot of people. And I think they're experiences we don't really see represented in the creative arts, particularly often. And so I hope that people will come and see this and see a little bit of themselves in the performance.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. That does sound like it's going to be unique and very entertaining evening. So thank you so much, Brooke. I enjoyed speaking with you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brooke. And there's more going on in classical music in the area. Kit, the Weekend of Chamber Music is not just a Weekend of Chamber Music. It's continuing with a concert at the Cooperage coming up.
Yes. On Sunday, this Sunday from 4 to 6, they will be at the Cooperage. It's going to be a duo. It's going to be Caroline Stinson, who, if you've been to Weekend of Chamber Music, you know her as the cellist and co-artistic director, and also Yeva Yakubashutek, who is the pianist who appeared at some of their concerts last summer. And they're going to be doing a program with the theme of mysteries of identity. That sounds very interesting. So that is going on Sunday afternoon. So you could hear Brooke on Saturday night and Caroline and Yeva on Sunday afternoon.
And make it a weekend of classical music.
Yes, absolutely.
Continues. Well, thank you for joining us, Kit. Also want to mention we're honoring Weekend of Chamber Music for the 30th anniversary at our upcoming Community Awards, along with other arts organizations, including the Chandelier Music Festival, also celebrating their 30th anniversary.
Right.
So, folks, if you want to come out and help celebrate local arts, and especially those big anniversaries for those two great organizations that bring classical music to us here in the Catskills, you can get ticket information about the Radio Catskill Community Awards at WJFFradio.org. Kit, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
That's all for this edition of Radio Chatskill. And a reminder, you can hear more episodes of the show, or this show if you missed parts of it, at the website, WJFFradio.org. I'm Tim Bruno. Thanks for listening.
Support comes from the Creek House Grill. Fresh food, drinks, and cocktails on the Delaware River in Calicoon, New York. Menu and hours at thecreekhousegrill.com. From the Forestburg Playhouse,
Live entertainment in the Sullivan Catskills since 1947. With musicals, plays, cabaret, arts education, concerts, special events, and more. Tickets at fbplayhouse.org.
How we make sense of the news and the world keeps changing. Who to trust and what's real are other moving targets. Let On the Media be your guide. Saturday afternoon at 4.
Hi, this is Marco Werman, host of The World. We bring you international perspectives on issues worldwide and here in the U.S. Our reporters in the Americas, Africa, Europe, and Asia get to the heart of the day's news. Afternoons at 3 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville, W233AH Monticello. Radio Catskill, your NPR station for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania.